Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Welcome to Charlotte Talks. I'm David Borax in for Mike Collins. Charlotte has a lively music scene, and it's continuing to evolve. Some of the city's old music clubs are gone to make way for new development, the Double Door, Tremont Music Hall, and Chop Shop, just to name a few. But new venues have taken their places, and there's a wider range of music in Charlotte than ever. Hip-hop, folk, rock, jazz, Latin, chamber music, classical. A new study has found that most music venues in town plan to book more local music in the future. That could be a good thing for Charlotte's musicians. They aren't getting rich following their passion. That same study found that most local musicians can't do it full-time. Their median income is below $10,000 a year. The study was commissioned by Charlotte Center City Partners and its Music Everywhere initiative. It raises questions and offers recommendations, like what would it take to make Charlotte a music destination? To talk about all of this today, our panel includes Rick Thurman. He's a Senior Vice President for Community and Economic Development at Charlotte Center City Partners. He's also the former editor and publisher of Charlotte Magazine, and he'll be talking about the Music Everywhere initiative and that study. Also with us is Joel Kuhlman, owner of The Evening Muse. That's a live music venue in Noda, if you haven't stopped by there yet. And Lonnie Davis, president and co-founder of Jazz Arts Charlotte, formerly known as Jazz Arts Initiative. It's a nonprofit organization that promotes jazz in Charlotte. Welcome to everybody.
Well, morning. Thank you.
First, let me start by taking our pulse here. How would you guys describe Charlotte's music scene, or maybe I should say music scenes right now? How has it changed for better or for worse? Joe?
It's constantly in motion. There's a lot of great talent here in Charlotte. It's not always focused. There's a lot of opportunity. We have a very diverse range of artists. Also genre-based. We have a lot of varying genres, which I think is a good representation of the city. But we could do more. We could have things really be pumped up a little bit more, create some opportunities and so forth.
Now, you started The Evening Muse in 2001, I believe.
Yes.
And why did you do that, and how have you been able to last this long?
2001, we felt there was a lack of a songwriter venue in Charlotte. There were plenty of hybrid venues. There were plenty of places for people to play bigger shows. There wasn't enough places for people to get discovered. There weren't enough places for artists to really have that intimate connection with the audience and to help develop that audience. So my partners and I kind of took it upon ourselves in a very bohemian, kind of rustic kind of way, and we've been able to forge ahead and just keep changing with the times and adjusting and looking out for the written song.
And that neighborhood around you has changed dramatically since 2001. How has that affected you?
Both good and bad. I'd say for the most part it's been really good, though. To me, it's more about making the adjustments. There are certain things that there's certain progress that you can't change. So there's a lot of us that, you know, in our artist's heart or whatever, like want to fight certain things. And I find that it's more beneficial for the business side of it and to have it as a resource for the rest of the community to keep to our mission, to serve written song, to allow people to come in and express themselves, encourage the audiences to pay attention. So keeping people quiet, keeping people interested, putting the focus on the music, and having a good time.
Well, one of the things that's changed in your neighborhood is there's a lot more residential housing, apartments, that sort of thing.
Sure.
New people moving in. You've got the light rail stop right there. Has that affected your crowds at all?
It's created more foot traffic. There's definitely more people on the streets. We're an entertainment and, you know, eating district, food district. There's a lot of great restaurants that have popped up in that area. There are a lot more housing opportunities. So there's a lot of new apartments and stuff that have come in. So the density is picking up. The light rail is definitely having an influence on that. You know, as far as the music side of it, we're a destination. So unless people are coming based on the show, it's not really something that people just will take a chance on and just pop in. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, Lonnie Davis. You're the president and co-founder of Jazz Arts Charlotte, and you're a promoter. You're also a musician yourself. I believe you play the flute. Is that right?
That's correct.
And you're originally, you grew up in New Orleans. What is your sense of the situation in Charlotte right now as far as the music scene goes?
I think Charlotte has come a long way since I moved here back in 06. I have certainly seen some growth and development on the music scene, and it's very encouraging. It is, and I do agree with Joe. I think we still have a lot of work to do to get to where you know, where our fullest potential is. But I have certainly seen some really positive movement along on the scene. You know, talent is certainly here. Mm-hmm. They just need more opportunity.
So Jazz Arts Charlotte is a nonprofit. You guys founded it in 2007, I believe, or 2010? 2009, okay. And tell us a little bit about that. What's your goal, and where do you host concerts, that sort of thing?
Yes, so Jazz Arts Charlotte, once Jazz Arts Initiative, we're, you know, of course, based here in Charlotte. Our mission is to connect the community and develop an audience for jazz through education, quality education, performance, and musician support. So those are our three main focus areas, with education being primary. The organization was created after, you know, my husband and I, O.C. Davis, moved here from New Orleans following Katrina, and we immediately noticed that there was a void in the city. We noticed that, you know, it was really interesting because we saw, you know, such a beautiful city with so much potential, but there were, for us, some really obvious things that weren't here. We could not find a center for where music was happening. We couldn't put our finger on where the musicians were hanging out, you know, and musicians were not connecting with each other. And those things were a little bit startling. And so about 3 years in, after we got acclimated, you know, we decided to start this organization to support jazz. And so we focus certainly on education through our Jazz Arts Academy.
And what is that?
The Jazz Arts Academy is our education umbrella for the organization. We offer a number of different educational programs, and we'll be expanding more programs in the fall. But currently, we have a jazz in schools program. We service students K through 12 through assemblies and residency programs in their music departments. We also do programs outside of schools, which would be our jazz youth ensembles and workshops program. That's, you know, middle and high school students we work with on a weekly basis, and we teach them how to play the music and all the things that go with being a performing, you know, musician, and give them opportunities to play in professional settings around town. We also have jazz camps for middle and high school kids. We'll be expanding to offer preschool programs or early childhood programs, introduction to jazz, the Weebop program. We'll be bringing that in from Jazz at Lincoln Center, so we're really excited about that, as well as some adult jazz education programs in the fall. So we're excited about that as well.
And tell me about your concerts.
We, 6 years ago, this past April was 6 years, we launched the Jazz Room, which is a monthly concert series that happens at the Blumenthal Stage Door Theater. We convert that space, it's a black box, we convert it into a jazz club setting with a bar in the corner, cabaret tables. It's very intimate and casual. And the goal is to feature local, regional, and national artists all on one stage, bringing those musicians together, oftentimes for the first time. They play together. They meet on the bandstand. It's a really cool environment because the audience is they're so close to these musicians. Very affordable pricing, because it's not about us making a lot of money there. It's really about giving and gain, you know, giving exposure and access to the music. And so that's what it's all about, not only giving these great musicians a platform, but also giving the community an opportunity to hear some high-quality music.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, Rick, your first job in Charlotte in 1994 was at a music store in Eastland Mall, they tell me. You were selling records. And you wrote and edited about music with Charlotte Magazine. How do you see the music scene here right now?
I would use one word, and that's potential. I think what you just heard Joe and Lonnie talk about are the – first of all, there's a lot of people like Joe and Lonnie that are growing this music scene a variety of different ways. You know, I think you heard Joe talk about his club, but also his focus on the artist and making it a home for musicians and honoring the work that they do and a lot of the other initiatives he started. And you heard Lonnie talk about the essentially developing a place for musicians to meet each other and hang out, and now the education focus. So there's a lot more people like these guys doing that work. And there's so much talent here. But really it's about potential. I think what the study showed was talent. I think it showed interest in local musicians to stay here and play here. And then I think it also showed a demand and a desire from the audience side. And so the key is to connect all of that.
Well, you've talked about the local music scene as being undervalued. What do you mean by that?
Well, so one of the five pillars of the action plan here is audience development. That came up as one of the primary concern, if you will, in the focus groups that we held with members of the music scene. And it's easy to I think it's a lazy narrative to say that, oh, people don't want to come out to shows. I think with the flux of media in Charlotte and the noise of social media, it's just hard to figure out where to go, what to do, and there's a lot of competition. I do feel like that that Charlotte audiences don't realize how good we have it. Well, just how strong our local music talent is, the great variety of venues that we do have. I think it's easy to focus on what we've lost, and we've lost some great places, but we have some amazing places. The Evening Muse is known across the country and even the world as a great place to play, and that feedback exists. And there's so much talent here. On any given night, you can go out and see a great local musician play. What I don't hear is the general population, just as a matter of course, saying we have a great music scene here. So one of the measures of success that I would say, one of the things we would look for as success, is that at some point it's just accepted as fact among people in Charlotte that we have a good music scene, whether or not you go to music shows or not. It's a thing that you know about your city and a thing that you're proud of.
So you're suggesting that's part of what's missing, is that a lot of people don't even know what we have, or they don't understand how valuable it is.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Well, your organization has been leading a push. I'm talking about Center City Partners now. Has been leading this push to promote Charlotte's music industry, and you have this initiative called Music Everywhere. We just a little bit before the break here, but where did this come from?
Well, it came from a recognition of those things I just said, and also a recognition that a strong music scene industry is important for a variety of reasons beyond just going out to see great shows. It matters for economic development. It matters for cultural development. And those are all lanes that we play in. So we thought, why don't we tackle this holistically from the music side and see where we can go with it.
Well, I want to talk some more about Music Everywhere and the study that you've just come out with. It's time for us to take a break. We'll be right back with more in just a minute on Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE.
Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE Hickory. I'm David Borax in for Mike Collins. We're talking about Charlotte's music scene this hour.
Oh,
That's Charlotte-based artist Jason Jett and his song Up All Night. We have a little flavor of the local music scene here. Our panel today, Rick Thurman of Charlotte's Any Sitter Partners, Joel Kuhlman, owner of the Evening Muse on North Davidson Street, and Lonnie Davis, president and co-founder of Jazz Arts Charlotte. And before we continue, I need to mention that this conversation about music continues tonight with a Music Everywhere Town Hall meeting. It's at 7 o'clock at the Neighborhood Theater on 36th Street in NoDa. Rick Thurman will be one of the speakers, along with Tim Scott of Music Everywhere and Charlotte's Any Center City Partners, City Council members Larkin Eggleston and Tarek Bakari, and City Planning Director Taiwo Jayoba. Rick, can you just give us a quick heads up about what this program tonight is all about?
Yeah, so this is actually a town hall that's co-hosted by the council members you mentioned who've been great champions of this initiative from the beginning, a true bipartisan initiative. And this is an opportunity for a lot of the people that participated in the work leading up to the study and report to hear firsthand about where we are with it and what's next, and also to begin plugging into the work. Because the only way this works is if this is a music community initiative. It's also a chance for those that care about live music in Charlotte to show the city of Charlotte, the city government of Charlotte, that there's a lot of us that care about it, and perhaps they can react with policy.
Now, Joe, you've been also deeply involved with this, and you've been at other events. I don't know if they were all called town halls, but the community has been coming together to talk about this. What sort of things are people talking about?
Well, I mean, personally, a lot of them wind up being how to support the artists. A lot of people think that showing up to shows, buying CDs and T-shirts and merch and stuff like that is a way of supporting the artists. But we're trying to think a little bit broader. We're thinking like housing initiatives. We're thinking about healthcare, mental health care. We're thinking about trying to form some professional organizations that can give the creative class some foothold, as well as attracting new people to Charlotte.
Lonnie, have you been to some of these as well? What are you hearing?
I would certainly piggyback on what Joe just mentioned, just musicians being able to support themselves on a day-to-day, you know, survive here. And playing music primarily without needing to, you know, have another gig on the side. But, you know, I think musicians are very much interested in finding ways to play music full-time here in the city.
Well, Rick, let me turn back to you here. The Music Everywhere Initiative has hired an outside firm to come in and conduct this study here in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. The report that came out is called the Charlotte Music Ecosystem Study and Action Plan. It sounds comprehensive and ambitious. Where did the idea come from to do a study like this, and what were you hoping to get out of it?
So we began convening a cross-section of people from the music scene probably about 18 months ago, and quickly realized that we couldn't get anywhere just based on anecdotes, that there's a lot of ideas and thoughts and opinions about what's going on in the music scene, but what we needed was data. What we needed to respond to was data. So we identified this firm out of Austin, Texas, who's really good at this.
Sound Music Studies, right?
Sound Music Cities.
Sound Music Cities, sorry, of Austin. They've done similar studies in other cities, and according to what your folks have told me, you did an online survey with about 1,800 people, mm-hmm. in-person interviews with about 70 people. And
we also tapped into the Your Voice CLT, which is through the UNCC Urban Institute, which did a broad, short survey to the entire county, to their sample of the entire county. And so we wanted to look under the hood and see what was going on, identify the top priorities, and then suggest some strategies to work on those.
And I know you also have been working with Joni Deutsch, my colleague at WFAE, who does the Amplifier podcast, which over the past year has really shown a spotlight on the music community here and all the different genres. Have all of you been on it now? I think a couple of you have been on it anyway. Mm-hmm. But Rick, broadly speaking, what did you learn from the study? And if you want to drill down into some of the areas.
Yeah, so I think you've heard a little bit about what we've learned, and we mentioned some of it earlier. You know, I think generally speaking, we heard a desire among creatives and musicians to stay in Charlotte and do what they do, but the need for some more support. And also, I think what we learned is the need to find ways to make money from their music besides just playing gigs. So we've identified a variety of different opportunities for local musicians to earn some revenue from music besides just the two or three ways they're currently doing it. But to get there, what it's going to take is some organization on the part of the music community to represent themselves, whether it's to hold a sort of a one-day summit where they can all sign up for all the different licensing platforms that are out there to make sure they're getting paid for their music, or to learn. The other thing we heard from musicians was we need help understanding how to market ourselves, that so many musicians, what they would rather do is spend their time making music and playing music and not having to worry so much about running their business. And so if there's any way we can provide some support, by we, I mean, I'm not sure who, but some support for that, mm-hmm. not Center City Partners, for example.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at some of the other stats that came out of your study. And again, this was 1,800 people answering online, plus the in-person interviews with 70 people. We found from this that most musicians here consider themselves freelancers. Only about 15% have full-time jobs in music, according to the study. Only 22% have no other income besides their music. And this is a sobering statistic for all of us, I think. 59% said they earn less than $10,000 a year from music. So to your point, you know, this is something that we need to build that.
Yeah, and this isn't necessarily unique to the city of Charlotte. The music industry in general is in flux, but certainly identifies some challenges to work on there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also like today people are talking about it being like a gig society. Well, a lot of musicians have been living by the gig for a long time.
Literally,
as opposed to every performance is basically a small business contract with everyone that's involved with that particular event, as opposed to a 9-to-5 typical job. So those opportunities, it is a gig society. And trying to figure out ways to be able to stay true to your music and not have to completely marginalize what you want to do and having to turn that artist off is really important.
Do we have musicians across all genres who are making it as musicians, making a living at that, or is it focused in certain genres?
That's a good question. I can think across most genres. I know people that are making a living at it. But there's few and far between, you know, it's not like everyone within one genre is excelling. People oftentimes ask, you know, does Charlotte have a sound, or what's the sound of Charlotte? And in my interpretation, I don't believe we have anything that really truly defines what the sound of Charlotte truly is. So I've always tried to encourage people to make it eclectic. So by booking your shows and having multiple genres in your show, that could be something that I think we could take on, especially when we look at the various demographics and cultures that are living here, how we kind of have different numbers than the rest of the country. So I think it's really important that we kind of bring that to light. I also like the idea of inclusivity and making sure that we kind of can hold everybody's feet to the fire with that. I especially think that like the city of Charlotte and city government is really trying to make that as a push. And I think we can utilize that when it comes to making the music everywhere happen.
Lonnie, are you playing out these days in addition to promoting shows, or what has it been like for you as a musician as opposed to being a promoter?
Well, I wish I could say that I am playing out these days. Not so much, not certainly as much as I would like to, because the work that I do with Jazz Arts is, you know, certainly keeping me very busy these days, but I do, you know, plan to play a lot more in the very near future, and that's just a matter of me, you know, doing it.
And do you see opportunity out there as a musician here in the Charlotte area?
I think that there is opportunity. You just have to know where to look. Oftentimes that opportunity will come to you, but I do think there is space for a lot more opportunity. I think there is space for local business owners to be open to the idea of having live music in their venues, which would then give musicians a lot more opportunity to make a living and do what they love to do here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rick, the study also brought out some non-music information about what the challenges are that are facing musicians. What are some of the concerns that they have as people who are trying to make it here? Things like housing and that sort of thing.
Right. So I think a couple things. One is that we're not necessarily at the critical point yet for affordability with housing. And of course, certainly this is a citywide conversation we're already having. But we're getting close with musicians. You already heard the income statistics. So it's tough for a musician if you're having to spend a disproportionate amount of your time worrying about where you're going to sleep each night or worrying about how you're going to pay your rent each month. And it makes it an easy decision to decide to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like to avoid that. So I hope that something that comes out of this is some affordable housing initiatives where we're thinking about creatives and musicians as recipients of that.
I guess folks who are trying to make it as musicians also face issues besides housing, like health insurance, which is a national problem, and finding a rehearsal space or a place to store your gear.
Yeah, I mean, everything's limited based on money. I mean, so if we're not, it's funny. I had a situation not too long ago where, you know, a company that actually makes money by selling musical equipment didn't want to pay musicians to perform for one of their events. And I was like, well, those musicians aren't going to have money to buy the stuff that you're selling. And it just seems to be an ignorance that's kind of going around. Is it a sign of the times? I think it's just an inevitability that a lot of times artists tend to get taken for granted and taken advantage of.
Lonnie, as somebody who's promoting music here and you work with local musicians, what are you hearing from them about these issues that they face?
Well, the days of playing for exposure are over.
As in free.
As in free, yes. In my mind, those days are over. And we, as an organization, we don't ever these days ask any musician to play for free, because we know that free and exposure doesn't, you know, put food on your table. And so it's very important that musicians and their skills are respected just like any other profession. I mean, they musicians and artists, you know, certainly do bring value to our community. And so they should, you know, certainly, you know, be paid for the work that they do, because they enrich our lives.
So as somebody who's promoting music, how do you make sure that happens?
Well, when those many contracts are being negotiated that Joe mentioned, it's even our youth. When those conversations are being had, we make sure that there is some type of an honorarium so that we can start training these young musicians to understand their value, you know, as artists.
Sounds really important.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, having musician support is one of the focus areas of our organization. We do our best to do our best for musicians, and you know, and we certainly understand the struggle, you know, as musicians. And so we work really hard to make sure that they're getting as much as they can get for the service that they provide.
So we've been talking about the struggles that musicians face. Both Lonnie, both you and Joe are promoting music here, and you're a nonprofit. Joe is a for-profit business. Maybe that's a little bit of a joke, but anyway, let's back up a minute and tell me a little bit about how Jazz Arts is funded.
Jazz Arts is funded by, you know, both earned and contributed revenue. We do things like, of course, Jazz Room.
So ticket sales.
Ticket sales, tuition for educational programs. But most of our funding comes in through individual support and grants. and sponsorships.
So individual support would be donations to the nonprofit, and then you write
yes.
grants. And what kind of grants are out there for a group like yours? Where do you get the money?
Well, there are a few government grants, state grants, local county grants, like general operation support through organizations like the Arts and Science Council, which, you know, helps to keep our lights on. And then there are program-driven grants that support capacity and development of new programs.
So maybe a grant that goes specifically for education program or something like that?
Correct. There are quite a few that want to support education, and I think that's great because, yeah, that's how you keep the music playing, is through, you know, supporting those educational programs. And so we look for funding in every, you know, area possible so that we can, you know, have a very well-rounded and balanced funding resource.
You've been doing this for 10 years now. How has it changed? Has it gotten any easier? Does it go up and down?
As we grow, the opportunity to find support and funding also grows, and the needs grow. So as our programs grow, we need more funding. You know, we need more of everything. So it's certainly nonstop. But it's a good thing because we want to continue to grow. We're only scratching the surface as far as what we want to do in the next 10 years.
And does your longevity help with funders?
I think so. I think having a history of doing work in the community certainly proves to funders and potential funders that, you know, you're not a flash in the pan and that this work is valuable and needed. And so we try to build on the programs and the work that we've done over the last 10 years. And, you know, with, you know, an opportunity to be able to share our future vision with those funders so that they could also see what we see as far as the potential for, you know, what can be done here in Charlotte.
Is there money from beyond Charlotte that can also be brought here to help you?
I would say absolutely. And we do have a couple of national grants, like through the Knight Foundation. They're based out of Miami. We're also funded through the Ella Fitzgerald Foundation in California.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's certainly greater, you know, national funders that support jazz in communities like Charlotte.
That's Lonnie Davis of the Jazz Arts Charlotte group. We're also with Joe Kuhlman, owner of the Evening Muse, and Rick Thurman from Center City Partners. It's time for a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joni Deutsch, and on the latest episode of the Amplifier podcast, we hear from Joe Kuhlman, co-founder of the Evening Muse, one of Charlotte's established music venues.
When I look at a true Charlotte show, it should be something where there's everything from bluegrass to hip-hop. I really think that Charlotte could be the forebearer of inclusivity.
Listen to the Amplifier podcast on WFAE.org/Amplifier. Amplifier is powered by Ortho Carolina.
It's Charlotte Talks from WFAE and WFHE. I'm David Borax in for Mike Collins, and we're talking all about Charlotte's local music industry.
Settled on a shack with a porch in the back and a little bitty puppy named Bones. Well, we taught him how to sit and we taught him how to lay in his little bitty bed in a room. But all he ever did was cry all day and at night he'd howl at the moon. It ain't right.
That's the Charlotte band Sinners and Saints and their song Old Bones. Actually, Sinners and Saints will be playing at that event tonight. Who can fill us in on that a little bit? What's the schedule tonight?
Yeah, they'll be playing after the program. So after the speakers and the Q&A that is in the main theater, they'll be playing on the side stage.
And that's, again, the Music Everywhere Town Hall meeting that's being held tonight at 7 o'clock at the Neighborhood Theater in NoDa. Joe Kuhlman, I want to come back to you. As a club owner and a promoter of music, what are the challenges you face? We've heard all about the difficulties that the musicians face, but what about you?
I think one of our biggest challenges is balance, making sure that we're serving a variety of genres and music fans so that we're not abusing any one particular pocketbook. I know that sounds a little silly, but it's like if we're being a true representative of what's happening and who's living in the city, then I think music venues tend to do better. We have a lot of challenges when it comes to one neighborhood versus another neighborhood, it seems. There's like some resegregating that kind of happens at times. So it's like a band that could play in town, they can only play like once every so often. And so it's like you can't just hop around and play throughout the city and have people show up every night. So one of the balances that we have to kind of help teach and make sure artists realize that they aren't taking themselves for granted by just playing every night of the week, but also knowing to get out of town and spread what you're trying to do to the masses and then let them know, hey, we're from Charlotte. It's cool. And it's kind of becoming, you know, little representatives, ambassadors of Charlotte. So when we can support them on stuff like that, it really helps.
Yeah, I think what Joe said is really important. I think one thing the study found is that Charlotte can become a regional music hub. So instead of a band having to make most of their income playing in town, imagine if they had four hometowns. Imagine if they could play here in Greensboro and Asheville and Greenville and Chapel Hill. And everywhere they played, they were thought of as a hometown band, but they still said, we're a Charlotte band. That quadruples your chance for income. It also goes the other way. So bands in other cities can make Charlotte one of their bases. So I think there's an opportunity here that we've identified with this work to work with some of these other cities to develop more of a regional network. And I think also what Joe said is important about helping bands be proud of being from Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So to this point, at times when a band makes it more broadly, they'll say they're from North Carolina or even from the South. But we want them to say, we want them to be able to, claiming Charlotte helps their case, gives them cred.
Mm-hmm. Let me drop a little comment from a listener in here. Gene has sent an email. Why is there no mention of the Charlotte Symphony in the discussion here? The Symphony is Charlotte's largest employer of musicians and is constantly struggling to remain in business. How about some discussion about keeping the symphony viable? Rick, did this come up in the study, in the survey, or anything like that? And we were talking about various genres here, but classical music is certainly an important one.
That's a really good question, David. So it came up some, but I think it also speaks to some of the segregation of genres that has come up in this discussion. And the symphony has done some good work of late getting out into the community, thinking differently about how they're going to play their music and where they're going to play it. For example, the brewery series that they're doing. But I think what the study also identified is that the siloing of genres is a challenge. And I think that's where that's represented. That so often when the average person talks about the music scene, they don't think of classical as part of that scene, but it absolutely is. And so many of those musicians that play for the symphony play in other groups or in other ways or contribute to the music economy here in a variety of ways that ought to be recognized and amplified.
You know, in some ways, what the symphony is doing may be a model for others. They have really reached out and developed a network of venues around Charlotte in addition to uptown where their home is. But you can go to concerts in North Mecklenburg or Matthews, places like that, and they are available, you know, in where the listeners are in other places. I put a plug in here also for chamber music, which is a branch of classical music. I think there's a pretty lively chamber music scene here that people may not know about, but there are everything from house concerts to brewery concerts and that sort of thing. WDAV, the other public radio station in our area, hosts a brewery series right now, and it's very successful. Those are usually close to sold out.
Yeah, but DAV does a great job supporting local musicians.
Mm-hmm. Another person has said on Facebook, Michael, instrumental music is lacking in Charlotte, according to Michael. Instrumental bands get turned down a lot, which makes the city seem like it only desires music with lyrics. Can this change? Is that accurate, Joe? And can this change?
I don't know as if that's
like Lonnie might
truly
disagree.
Accurate. Yeah, I would disagree with that a little bit, especially a lot of the jazz and a lot of the fusion music that's going on, a lot of the funk music that's going on, which, interestingly enough, comes from a lot of musicians that also, you know, step into the gospel world as well. And there's a lot of harmony that's kind of happening within those genres around town. So I think there's a lot of instrumental. There can always be more. I think that a lot of times it takes a certain sophistication that, you know, today's music listener isn't necessarily as adept to listening like that.
I definitely agree with you, Joe. I think there's a huge desire to hear instrumental music, at least from my experience. People are hungry for it. So, yeah.
There was a great show this past weekend at Snug Harbor led by Akita, mm-hmm. which is a mostly instrumental kind of funk fusion jam band that was, I think, packed to the gills.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me go back to something that you said earlier, Rick. You mentioned that the study found that there's an opportunity for Charlotte to become a regional music hub. And our local historian, Tom Hanchett, reminds us that Charlotte was once a hub for country music recording, as well as gospel and blues and jazz. The Carter family recorded here. So did the bluegrass legend Bill Monroe. What happened to that, and what's it going to take to get it back?
Well, Tom can probably answer that better than we can, because I love how he says that Charlotte was Nashville before Nashville was Nashville.
It's true.
Yeah, and I don't know all the particulars around it, but essentially that world moved to Nashville, and we did lose that world. So I don't know if it's a question of getting something back as building on what we are now.
And Charlotte is not the same place it was in those days. It was a much smaller place, and there weren't a million people in the metro area. So new opportunities, I guess. Let me dig a little deeper here. The report has a list of action steps in several areas. Can you kind of tick some of those off, Rick, and what was found?
Yeah, so I think the general thrust of this report and study, which, by the way, was generously sponsored by Avid Exchange, they recognize the value of a music scene in recruiting talent, which is why they're behind this. So thank you to them. But as I mentioned earlier, one of the keys is that for the music community itself to organize. And there's five buckets, really. There's the audience development. There's the resources for the people making the music. We've talked about that a little bit. There's music industry development. So that's beyond just the music makers, but the venues and all of the other pieces of the music economy. I think it's important to note, if you are making videos of music, if you're a sound tech, there's so many different pieces to the music economy. There's also the, you know, for lack of a better term, the Charlotte Music Coalition, which is the organizations like ours. It's city government. It's the folks at the government level, the sponsoring level, that can carry this work moving forward. And then there's also, I think, this really important piece that ties it all together, which is music's role in diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is a civic conversation we've been having. The only thing that brings people together like music is food, those two things. So I think there's a real opportunity here for music to be at the table in a lot of these civic discussions. And I would say one ancillary piece are the fans. You know, the question I get the most as a fan from other fans is, this is great, how can I help? So we provided some ideas in here as to how fans can be a part of this movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, those five action steps are fairly specific. I think there's a list under each one of those areas in the study. Who's going to do this, and who's going to pay for it?
So for any of the listeners that want to read it, it's at musiceverywhereclt.com. You can download the entire thing and read it at your leisure. So we're all going to have to do it. That's the question I get the most. It's going to have to, so when somebody says, what are you going to do about it? I say, hey, there's 37 ideas in here. What are you going to do about it? You know, pick one that speaks to you, reach out to me or somebody else, and we'll connect you with people that are doing some of this work. And I think once some energy forms, we'll be able to see where those pockets of energy are, and that'll make it a lot easier to fundraise around it.
So your group, Charlotte Center City Partners and Music Everywhere, is kind of convening this right now, and I think people are looking to you, but what you're saying is it needs to get off your back pretty soon.
I think actually more what Rick is trying to say is that we're not as connected as we could be. We're not taking advantage of our resources as the music hustle. You know, there's a lot of us out there that are doing our own things, and because of the economics of it, we've all had to be kind of singular in all of our efforts, as opposed to working as a team and working together. So I think it's more about combining efforts, recognizing and, you know, appreciating what everybody else is doing, kind of understanding each of our stories a little bit better, learning our strengths, learning what we can kind of lean on each other for. Also, it's like stop taking ourselves for granted. Stop taking the Charlotte music scene for granted. And that's for fans as well as musicians.
Two of the things that stuck out to me in the recommendations are, number one, the formation of a musicians league here. And number two, the formation of some kind of an industry group of venue operators, promoters, that sort of thing. First of all, do we have anything like that right now for either of those? What about for musicians? Is there anything?
There's AFM, which is actually having a lot of troubles.
Which is what?
American Federation of Musicians.
And is that a local group? Or?
It's not local. It's national, mm-hmm. and there are members here locally within that. But, I mean, they're even having problems with covering their pensions coming up and so forth.
How about for venue operators and promoters? Is there anything right now?
No.
So I would love to see Joe co-chair a venue alliance, just to throw that out there.
Well, I was just going to say, who's going to step up and do this? I mean, we can talk about it until the cows come home. There have been plenty of studies like this in Charlotte in the past, and it always comes down to, when do you get past the meetings?
Yeah, it's getting that new blood and new energy and learning from our past mistakes and learning from each other and gaining a more urgency.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in Charlotte 25 years, one way or another, participating in the music scene, never as a player. And I would say in the last 3 years, there is a undercurrent of energy that I have not seen before. There's a desire among a broad swath of people to make a difference, to make something happen. Part of that's just driven by the younger generation that is moving here with plans to stay here. And there's an opportunity to tap into that. And there are groups forming, and there are people getting together and meeting about some of these that are really taking some of this work and saying, okay, people are paying attention. Now's our chance. And, you know, we're not going away. You know, speaking of me and Center City Partners, we'll be lurking in the background. We'll be grinding away, doing what we do to keep this moving. But for it to be sustainable, that broader energy has to form, like Joe's talking about.
So is there a role for the city here? Daniel on Facebook is asking about, with all these venues going away because of development, what can the city do?
So hopefully Taiwo, the city plan director, will speak to that tonight. I've talked to him about that a little bit to say, you know, what in this comprehensive planning process the city is doing, is there an opportunity to recognize a venue like Evening Muse as some sort of cultural landmark that comes with some sort of protection? You know, that one of my personal reasons why I'm inspired to do this work is because the Double Door was one of my favorite places on earth. And I always wear my Double Door T-shirt at the meetings like tonight to sort of remind myself why I do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have just a couple of minutes left here. Ryan on Twitter is asking, I'm constantly searching for new local music, and maybe this is a good way to go out. What are some of your favorite local groups and genres that you're able to hear here in the Charlotte area? Who wants to jump in here?
I got a lot of them. I would say one of the favorite singer-songwriters today that's going on is Dane Page.
Yes.
Ross Adams is one that comes to mind. Ministry is a great jazz fusion junket that we really like those guys. Lonnie, you got some folks in mind?
There are a ton of amazing musicians. And in jazz, there are not a whole lot of bands. But, you know, they do a lot of freelance work. But I could certainly name a long list of super talented Charlotte-based musicians.
Come out to Jazz Arts and hear some here. Rick, you got a couple of ideas here?
Yeah, one of my favorite local bands is the Mike Strauss Band, and they're actually having a CD release party.
Great voice.
A great songwriter, and a couple weeks at Free Range. I also love Elevator J, mm-hmm. Hip-hop artist, and Dane Page as well for singer-songwriter.
Well, Rick Thurman of Center City Partners, thanks for coming. We're also talking this morning with Joel Kuhman, owner of the Evening Muse on North Davidson Street, and Lonnie Davis, president and co-founder of Jazz Arts Charlotte. That's all we have time for. And don't forget, the conversation continues tonight at the Music Everywhere Town Hall meeting at 7 o'clock at the Neighborhood Theater. More information at musiceverywhereclt.com. I'm David Borax. Thanks so much for listening this morning. Thanks.
Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.